Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So Ralph Brown flies them to safety. Meanwhile, the Trade Federation tells Sidious that, well, we don't know where they've gone, and they've escaped. Yeah. And he goes, well, we'll never find them.
We fucked everything up.
Yeah, we basically
fucked absolutely everything up.
And then he goes, oh, no worries. I've got an apprentice Sith called Darth Maul.
And he appears, voiced by Peter Serafinowicz.
That's right.
And he says, I shall track down the Child Queen, dead or alive.
That's right.
And then have some hoisin crispy owl.
Lord Croupier's choice from Serafinowicz, Sith.
But, you know. Sith Jesus.
I accept my payment of bonds.
At last we shall have revenge.
And that's not all.
That is all.
I love the fact, I will always love the fact that, when we've talked about this before, but I'll always love the fact that these adverts that, while I was, when I first moved to Brighton, when I was looking for a job, I watched lots of daytime telly while I was job seeking. Yeah. And I would often see the Basil Soper adverts, which that's based on. And I always found it really funny. So I love the fact that someone else did and then made it into a thing.
A whole thing. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Because it's
a shame we didn't get more of Butterfield either, you know.
You'd think he would have got his own sitcom or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was, every time he turned up, he was brilliant. You see, for the listeners, I'm sure you all know, but in case you don't, the character of Brian Butterfield as played. And also, if you put a picture of Darth Maul next to a picture of Brian Butterfield and said, the same guy is the voice of these guys, I think you'd be rightly impressed. But Brian Butterfield, then he appeared on like some CBBC kids like sketch shows.
Did he?
And those bits are really funny. You
well,
can look
them
up. Like he was in a, it was about sports or something, and it was him like, trying to get in shape. and they're really good. Like, you know, it's silly kid sketches, but they're just very funny.
Probably.
And then he turns up on Shooting Stars, and it's like one of the best episodes of all time.
Oh,
amazing.
Well, good.
What a shame. More Brian Butterfield, please. Yeah. Peter, come back from like Hollywood doing whatever it is that happens out there, and come back here. Whatever you're playing, like the accountant for the Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever it is you do.
Or this Elvis deepfake tour you're doing for some reason.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yes, doing a live deepfake tour. Yeah. And come back here and just get Brian Butterfield back out of the mothballs and let's go, please.
Or do like a Coogan's Run series where every character you do gets their own little episode. Oh. That'd be nice.
Oh, that'd be wonderful, yeah. I mean, just any more of that, thanks. Any more of that sort of stable of people and sketches, yes.
Yeah, so the ship lands, but the hyperdrive system is a bit broken. So they go to they land on a planet called Tatooine, which is not under Galactic Federation control. It's under the control of the Hutts.
Yeah, yeah.
So then Qui-Gon, Jar Jar, and R2-D2 are going to go and find parts. And then Queen Amidala says, oh,
Hey, no, not Queen Amidala.
Padme,
the anonymous handmaiden.
The anonymous handmaiden, Padme.
Strange that they didn't send out the one played by Sofia Coppola, by the way.
Yeah, I'm glad
they didn't. Who's also in the entourage. Yeah, but
I think her and Jar Jar have been too distracting. You had two opposite scales of acting. It'd be like fire and water.
Yeah, quite like oil and gas.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So why? I don't know why. I can understand why he's taking the droid.
Yep.
I don't know why he's taking Qui-Gon with him.
Well, in theory, he's the leader, even though he's the least qualified to...
It's like taking Frank Spencer to Beirut.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Taking him to the negotiate at the Kremlin.
Yeah. But on their travels, they encounter a junk dealer by the name of Watto.
Of Watto, the Toydarian junk trader man.
Yeah.
Well, John.
Yeah.
Interesting you should mention Watto, because... He's portrayed on set in some CGI business and also voiced by Andy Secombe. Now, if that name sounds familiar, there's a few reasons it might.
Yeah.
Andy is, of course, a very experienced actor and voice actor in the United Kingdom. He's the son of Harry Secombe of the well-esteemed Goon Show.
He was in the seminal children's television comedy programme that I loved as a child called Fast Forward.
Fast Forward with a wonderful theme song that John
Watch
Rain
me,
introduced
I'm
me to.
A video,
I'm a video. And you may also in the podcast sphere know him as Reverend Wavering from podcast sitcom international hit Wooden Overcoats, which I am in and have written for many times. And so if you know, dearly beloved, we are gathered here today, you may be surprised to hear that that is Watto, the junk dealer from The Phantom Menace.
Mm.
And wouldn't it be nice, John, if we could hear something from Andy Secombe about his experiences on The Phantom Menace?
Wouldn't it?
Hey, John and Tom and all you smash podders out there. This is Watto, a Toydarian junk dealer who has been asked to lend a little class to this enterprise. What do you know?
That's enough of that. Hello, Andy Secombe here. I played Watto in the first two prequels of Star Wars, The Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones. And my good friend Tom Crowley asked me to share some reminiscences of those far, far away days. They seem very far away now. So what can I tell you? When I got the call from Lucasfilm to go and audition, I went up to audition in Leavesden Studios, and they didn't know what they wanted this character to sound like. They just had little line drawings, so I didn't even have a three-dimensional model. So I sort of tried out a few things. I had a stock of silly voices because I've been voicing animations, and I used to run very small animation production company, and me and my mate Teddy Kempner used to write things and do all the voices. So I had all sorts of weird and wonderful little voices, and because he was supposed to be, he's a bit rough, sort of dodgy, and George said he had possibly mafia connections. I thought, well, okay, so he's Italian, so he sounds a bit like this. How you doing? And they seemed to like that. So I got the gig. So they said, would you come in, I think about a week later, for the read-through, for the first read-through of the scripts? And I said, oh, I forgot the part. And they said, no, not yet. No, but just come and read, and we'll see. So I went along for the read-through, and there was Ewan McGregor was there. Jake Lloyd, I think, was there. Natalie Portman, I think she was there. Ian McDermott was there. Hugh Quashie. All these people were there. And then this funny little guy wearing a check shirt wanders in. I thought, oh, it's the plumber come to fix the radiator. And no, but he sat down at the head of the table. And I thought, oh, God, that's George Lucas. Just the way I didn't say anything. Now, I think you're in the wrong room, darling. Anyway, we read the script, and I was, because not everybody was there, I was reading in other parts as well. I was reading C-3PO, Anthony Daniels, and Yoda, because Frank Oz wasn't there. And I I got a bit over-enthusiastic, and I actually sort of did the voices, which I wasn't, which I didn't know you weren't supposed to do. So I was doing, you know, oh, a Jedi it is, and all this sort of thing. And anyway, I think because I made George laugh, I eventually got the gig. And on the first day of shooting, we shot the hangar scene, the Mos Espa hanging scene. I think it's Mos Espa. Hangar scene. And I had it, it was with Liam. And huge set, thousands of extras, and only a mass of technicians. Terrifying. I was trembling when I walked out on set. And this is the first day of shooting. And I had a scene with Liam, and because we were supposed to be talking eye to eye, they put me on a flight case, on rather a large flight case, because Liam's quite tall, and I'm not. And so I had to do this little scene. I was supposed to be very angry with Qui-Gon Jinn, because he's swindled me, but he's done something weird, something Jedi-like with this chance cube. And because I was an animated character, I was a CGI character, although George wanted me in the original framing so that everyone knew where to look, it would give Liam an eye line, etc., and so that the animators would know which character they were supposed to be animating over. They made me wear this very silly hat, looked a bit like a lampshade, and a very sharp metal rim. Anyway, I looked ridiculous, and it was very uncomfortable, and it stuck out about sort of 6 inches all around. Anyway, cut a very long story short, had this angry scene with Liam, and I think the last line was, "You may have won the small toss, Outlander, but you will not win the race." And I sort of leaned forward and spat this line to his face, and I caught the brim of the hat, caught him on the bridge of his nose, and split it wide open. Oh, God, I laugh now. I wasn't laughing then. And Liam, you know, he's a boxer, and he went down. He went down, and holding his nose and moaning, blood pouring out. Oh, God, first day of filming, and I've killed the leading actor. It wasn't a good start. Anyway, after Liam had been patched up and makeup and wardrobe had cleaned everything up, we shot the scene again, and Liam said to George, can he just go a bit further over there, please? Anyway, so that was that. The rest of it went sort of fairly swimmingly, really. It was great fun, wonderful bunch of people. George Lucas, very, very laid back. What else can I tell you? I had a great time. All the stuff in Leavesden we shot over about 6 weeks, and then we went to Tunisia for 3 weeks, I think. And most of the time, they just put me up in a hotel. I was just sitting in a hotel by the pool, drinking coffee, reading, and eating Turkish delight, you know, as you do. And it was kind of glorious. Not every actor's job is like that, I hasten to add, but a great experience.
Well, thank you very much, Andy Secombe.
So much, Andy Secombe, and you'll be glad to hear that he is every bit as delightful as that made him sound, and as you might expect, straight from the Toydarian's trunk.
That's right.
True facts from the set of The Phantom Menace. What an exclusive for this podcast.
What an absolutely amazing exclusive. Thank you, Tom, for securing such a thing.
My pleasure. It gave me an excuse to talk to Andy Secombe again, which is always welcome.
Ah, well, a wonderful thing. So we meet Watto, who we've heard all about now. And he has a little friend.
Yes.
Who is a slave, although they're quite keen to not use the S word so much.
Too often, yeah.
Yeah, because he says, "I'm not a slave, I'm a person. My name's Anakin Skywalker."
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And he's an adorable little apple-cheeked Darth Vader.
He is. He's going to kill some younglings.
That's right. In only a few films hence, this adorable little cherub will be slicing and dicing sand people and younglings alike.
I forgot about the sand people.
Oh, yeah.
Is it controversial for me to say that I think if they were going to do a backstory of Darth Vader, just skip the bit where he's a useless 10-year-old boy?
I think that's a very predictable way to do it, John. I think that's the way that, you know, any guy off the street would decide to do it.
Sure.
But that's the difference with Lucas. Is it's like, no, he's 10 and is surprisingly good at flying things, but otherwise pretty vulnerable and useless.
Yeah, pretty useless. Him and Jar Jar are completely redundant in this film, pretty much.
Yeah, basically, yeah. They both sort of end up as kind of magical problem solvers later. Mm. They destroy the baddies in their own ways. But that's, you know, until then, there's absolutely no evidence to suggest that they'd be able to do that.
But I tell you what, for a 10-year-old, he's a smooth motherfucker.
Oh, he sure is. He calls Padme an angel.
Are you an angel?
Yeah. Are you an angel? Which we now know canonically, the Christian God does exist in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. So that's proven.
Yeah.
Even though it's a satanic allegory, as we've discussed.
We have.
Angels are beautiful and exist in this world.
I've seen your clothes somewhere before. On my bedroom floor. You know what I mean, baby?
Hey, are you a force vision of my eventual moral corruption and death? Because I've been dreaming about you all night.
You're 10.
I've been really trying. Yeah, it's 10. Very strange. I do quite like, later on, there's a scene where she's kind of trying to comfort him because I think after he's left home.
Yeah.
And it's got a real lovely sort of kid with babysitter that he fancies.
Yeah.
Sort of vibe, which you go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. That kind of formative impression.
Yeah, but what doesn't make sense is he'll then go on and marry her and have sex with her, which is a bit weird.
Yeah, that's unusual. I mean, it's more unusual from Padme's perspective, it must be said. But, you know, he goes away for ages and then comes back as a hunky Canadian. So,
that's true.
You know, things change.
So, Qui-Gon tries to mind trick Watto because he's like, Republican credits I've got. And Watto's like, I can't take them. They're not tender. They're not currency here. They're not legal tender. And then he goes, no, they'll be fine. And he goes, no, they won't. And he goes, yeah, they'll be fine. Yes. No, you're trying to do a Jedi mind trick. They don't work on me. I'm
doing a Darren Brown on him. Just take it. Just take it. Just take the credits. Just take them. Just take them, you know?
Yeah. Eat this onion like it's an apple. No.
No.
Do it. Walk around like a chicken. No.
Drink this lovely big tall glass of vinegar.
No.
No.
Get in this glass cage over the Thames for a week. Oh, no, that's the other one.
I think that was Darren Brown. I hate to tell you. Yeah, no, I think that was someone else.
It was David Blaine. Do a poo in a pipe.
DBs, though.
Yeah.
Same guy. That's Darren Brown's greatest trick. It's still not been revealed. He was the other DB as well.
Danger Bouse.
Danger Bouse, that's right. And his friend, Menfold.
I found out why he's called Penfold the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the old-fashioned type postboxes were called Penfold postboxes.
Oh. Yeah, nice.
Stop hammering. Thank you.
that's a fun fact.
Anakin boasts how good he is at building things. So I can build anything, I can fix anything.
That's right, he's built a C-3PO. He's built a character who will sustain 9 films.
And a cartoon series.
That's right, yeah, that as well.
Back in trouble again. Jar Jar pisses off the locals and Sebulba.
Yeah, that's right, Sebulba played by Lewis McLeod.
Yes.
Who... Sorry to give it away. We're not going to have a message from Lewis McLeod, though I don't know him myself, but I know people that know him. But anyway, yeah, he's great as Sebulba, I think.
I've got a message from Lewis McLeod.
Oh, have you?
I'll just play it now.
Hello, I'm Lewis McLeod. I play Sebulba.
Thanks very much, Lewis. Lovely.
Yeah, thanks, Lewis. Great. Well, it was less informative than Andy's message, but still, what a delight to have a message from him.
Well, he was busy.
Yeah,
to be fair, Lewis Cloud does seem quite busy.
So. He is very busy, yes, that's true.
And then we get...
Oopy-poopy. Oh, thanks very much, Lewis, for sending us that brief message.
Storm's coming, Annie. Better get home quick.
Yeah, who's that? I tried to look her up, there's no way of knowing what her name is.
I think it was the witch from Simon and the Witch.
Right, I thought it was Grotbags.
Oh, yeah, it's Grotbags.
She's a mean green mother.
From outer space.
From Tatooine.
Tatooine.
She's bad.
She's bad. Yeah. Mean green bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they go home because there's a sandstorm coming. So Anakin says, you know what? You all better come back to mine because you're going to get caught in a sandstorm. So they go back to his, and that's when he's got a nude C-3PO wandering around like a pervert.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Nude, yeah. What do you mean, naked?
What do you mean, get your cock out of my face?
R2-D2 saying just absolutely vile stuff to him.
Yeah.
Like, cover yourself up. Cover your shame.
Yeah.
You whore.
Bend over. It's like that bit from Fame.
I've got my attachment.
Take it off. Take it all off.
Oh, God.
C-3PO crying.
Oh, people think R2-D2's cute. He's a monster.
He's
they
horrible.
Can't get rid of him. Yeah.
R2-D2,
you can't hear what he's saying.
At any point can fly and yet chooses not to on many occasions when it would be helpful.
True. That's true. So many times.
Mm.
Endangering people's lives. You know, I mean, when he was fixing that spaceship earlier, for one thing.
Yeah. Mm.
Let those other robots die.
We meet Anakin's mum.
Mm-hmm.
Who's all Shmi. Wasn't Shmi. She in Peter Pan?
Yeah, she's first mate Shmi.
Mm, that's right. Yeah.
Captain Hook, you must not kill all of the children.
I'll do what I like, Smee. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Thanks,
I think it's
McLeod,
Watto, actually. I think it's Watto, to be fair.
Oh, okay.
I want to kill a crocodile.
That's right.
Meanwhile, Darth Maul meets with Sidious and says these lines that we mentioned earlier.
Yep. At last, we will have revenge.
Anakin tells him over dinner he's an amazing pod racer and he could win the race and give them the prize money to pay for their parts that they need for their ship. So then this just gets confusing. Watto refuses to accept the payment in Republic currency. So Qui-Gon goes, how about we do a bet where if Anakin wins, I'll get the parts I need and his freedom.
Yes.
And if it loses, you can have my ship.
Yes.
And then Jar Jar gets his tongue numbed and hand stuck.
Yep.
It's really funny.
That's right. And goes, blah, 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 blah. And it's an amusing little occurrence. Baby Greedo is wandering around this point.
And
I
it's
think,
Warwick
as well.
Davis as well.
Oh, is it Warwick Davis as Greedo too?
He's
in several places.
You're so fucking stupid, Annie. I'm a fucking idiot, you piece of
shit.
Why are you doing, Annie, you piece of shit? You come here.
One day, I'm going to get out of this place and get shot by a smuggler in the next town.
You come here the day of my daughter's pod race.
With his puffed up cheeks. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So
around this time, C-3PO says, I find him to be a little odd, referring to Jar Jar. And you go, you're not alone, mate. We're all going, why is he here? What's he doing?
He should have died.
He should be dead. That robot truck should have hit him at the start.
Yeah, because Harrison Ford...
Qui-Gon goes, oh, all right.
Harrison Ford famously says, at the end of Empire, Han Solo should have died because he had nothing to do in Return of the Jedi. And I wanted him to die.
Mm.
They should have said that about Jar Jar Binks within the first 3 minutes of the film.
Yeah, that's right, Ahmed Best interviewed says, I always felt that Jar Jar should have been mown down by a big 18-wheeler at this opening of The Phantom Menace. Yeah.
I mean, what a gambit. He's all over all the marketing. He dies.
That's right. I mean, it was like Psycho. The main character's been killed instantaneously.
Yeah, I want Jar Jar stabbed in the shower.
The new character you'll love, Jar Jar Binks. Ah, hello, Misa. Dead. Yeah, and then you go, whoa. No one is safe.
Standing ovation, though.
That's right, yeah, my God, yeah.
Not a dry eye in the house.
People would have created alternate universe products, though, John. They'd have gone, oh, he could have been amazing. He could have. What if he'd been, what if he'd lived? What if Jar Jar had lived?
There'd have been an online petition to make the Jar Jar cut.
Remake The Phantom Menace, with Jar Jar in it more.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one ever knows what they want, really, do they? That's that's the thing.
Well, Qui-Gon senses a strong presence of the Force with Anakin. So he speaks to Sheev. What's it called? She called Shmi?
Shmi. It's me.
And she says, he hasn't got a dad. I just had a baby. And you're like, hang on a minute.
So Anakin Skywalker is a virgin birth.
Mm.
He's Damien.
Yeah.
This is actually making sense now. He is the omen child, and this is a satanic allegory.
I feel like more should be made of this.
Well, I think more than a sort of raised eyebrow from Qui-Gon Jinn, certainly. Mm. Like, literally, he's been made manifest by whatever the Force equivalent of God is, it seems.
I mean, she should say, I don't know how I had him as a baby, because the way I do it, you can't get pregnant.
But by which she means she just only hovers over toilet seats.
That's right.
She,
yeah.
You never sit down on them fully. You can't get pregnant
off them.
That's right.
I think
if you never sit down on them.
I think this is stupid.
I think it's very stupid. Mm. I think the idea of Qui-Gon just happening upon this incredibly powerful child on a planet, that's quite nice. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I don't think it's executed very well at all.
No.
And I think that midichlorians is stupid.
It's very stupid.
And I think that that him being a virgin birth is also very stupid.
Yeah. You should have had him as that, like he was off like a rat out of an aqueduct.
Yeah,
Nautius
that's right.
Maximus was his name. No,
that's right. Yeah,
it could have been. Do you remember in Revenge of the Sith, where we hear the tale of Darth Timothy Claypole, whatever he's called? You can bring people back from the dead.
Right. No,
that should have been Anakin's
father.
I'm
going to say that straight away. Oh, okay,
that would have been
super powerful.
Darth Plagueis.
Yes, this is ringing a bell. Yeah,
that would have been a good twist. Like that's your dad.
Yeah. I didn't want to tell you I banged the evilest man in the world, in the galaxy.
Well, he promised me all the gold I could eat.
Yeah, all the gold I could eat.
You mean you were raped at first,
Yeah,
well, there should have been
Who's that? Queen Amidala naked.
Yeah, leave that Welsh tart alone. No, I mean, I think the idea of it being an immaculate conception is just too much of a reach, and it's a bit
silly. Massive. But also it then begs questions like, you know, these aren't human beings. Mm. How do these characters reproduce?
That's right.
And if you didn't point at it too strongly, we wouldn't question it.
And how is she not with the Force if she's able to have a Force baby?
Force baby. She was just a vessel. She was humble, like Mary.
Ah.
Or like, who was it in The Omen? I remember it was...
Lee Remick.
Lee, that's right, yeah.
But they adopted the baby in The Omen, so we don't know who the mother was.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Mm. Yeah, okay.
Could have been the devil himself.
The devil, yeah, and was, in fact, I think.
Probably,
could a child not born of the devil make a man be cut in half by a lift?
Well,
no.
There you go, no. It's probably Patrick Troughton, he was in that, and he was always putting about.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, if Patrick Troughton is near your film, and there's a question of parenthood, look no further.
In the old days, if you watched a Patrick Troughton film, when you went to eject the video at the end, a baby came out.
Yeah. Siring a new dynasty of acting talent.
And you're like, oh, for fuck's sake, I've got
another
Troughton.
I've got...
What can I do?
There's a warning on the back of the VHS cassette, but it's very small. You don't see it.
Be kind, raise your Troughton.
Be kind. A Troughton is for life, not just for Christmas.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So talking of midichlorian being bullshit, he checks Anakin's midichlorians and it's off the chart. Not even Master Yoda has a midichlorian this high. That's stupid.
Yeah, that's stupid, yeah.
Hmm. It should be, it's nearly as high as Master Yoda's.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's all just too big. And I think it's all this thing of going, where's it all come from? And just big everything up, tee all the mythology up. So everything has to be bigger than before. More important than everything we've seen before.
There was no father. When I first moved into this house, there was a magic little hole and a little sausage would come through. And you look next door and it's just this guy in a string vest like doing like, nothing to do with me.
Yeah, no, I don't know what you mean.
Anyway, Darth Maul turns up.
Yep.
And sends out his little pods.
Yep. Robots find out where I can find the Jelly Knights.
Birthday pie.
Is there somewhere around here I can get a valet service and a birthday pie?
It's true. I didn't find the birthday pie. Qui-Gon cheats with the chance cubes and bets the boys freedom, as I mentioned. He's a degenerate gambler, essentially.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dreadful.
He's gambling on their way of getting out of this planet, Anakin's future, and, the Queen, because she's going to get murdered by space pirates, probably, if they stay here much longer. But anyway, fine. So Sebulba is the favourite for the pod race, and the pod race sequence, pretty much one of the biggest successes of this film. It's amazing.
Fantastic. Mm. I think a big part of that is, looking back now, I think it's like a beautiful oasis of, you know, understandable stakes and enjoyable, well-filmed action in this film.
But and sound design long. As well, all the different engines.
Oh, the sound design, all the bloody ILM sound team showing off the absolute best, no question.
But I agree, it's too long.
Mm. Yeah. And the commentator is a two-headed being, which has two names somehow, so it's two entities in one two-headed body, called Fode and Bede, and they're played by Greg Proops.
Yeah.
From Whose Line Is It Anyway? And comedian Scott Capurro.
Yes.
And Scott Capurro's character is in alien language, and Greg Proops speaks in basic or English.
That's right.
And I think that's because it was Scott Capurro, so everything he was saying in English was like, you know when you're fucking a guy in the ass and then the pod race starts and the guy's belt gets snagged and you're getting dragged along by your dick? And and so they went, I don't think this is really going to suit the...
put it in Arbash.
Suit the tone. Yeah. It's going to be in Arbash. Yeah. Indeed.
I think it's Arbash. So many racers get killed or disabled.
Yes, horribly mangled,
including the little cute man.
They did say it was dangerous, they did say.
Yeah.
Is that Ben Quadraneros, who's just a big torso?
Yeah.
He's got a face torso.
Feel sorry for him.
Most of them quite forgettable. I like Ben Quadraneros, though.
Yeah, Paul Walker, he was good as well. Vin Diesel, he was good as one of them.
Yeah, that's good. I liked him when he turned up. Yeah.
Sorry about
and,
family.
And Jason Statham turns up later.
Pod race is about family.
Pod race is about family. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, they're all forgettable, as you say. I like it.
I
like the bit where they're going past and the sand people are taking pot shots of them, and that feels in character for them. I like that.
That's great. You get some lovely Tuscan Raider sounds, which is great. And you get an Utini, which I was very happy about.
What I liked about it is at the time my friend was majorly into Star Wars, and when we watched it at the cinema, he said to me afterwards, if you look carefully when they go past the sand people, there's a rogue Jedi, a Sith lady there who's going to be a big character in the next two films. Never happened.
I've got her down as like a super cool punk bounty hunter, like getting a little glamour shot there, like wow, check out this cool
never saw her again.
Image. Never seen again. No. I think she might have had like her own comic series or something.
Anyway. So the race finishes. Anakin wins. Yay.
Yay.
And then he's like, and so Watto's like, oh, well, you cheated. And he's like, well, shall I just hand you over to the Hutts and they'll beat the shit out of you?
Yeah.
He's like, all right, take him.
I don't know how Qui-Gon's got the authority to get him to do that.
Compliments to Andy Secombe here. I do like the way he just goes, take him.
Yeah, it's actually one of the better CGI performances well, I think.
Gets all sort of doughy-eyed.
That's it. And but actually, just I think whoever had control over the facial animation as well was really great.
Facial animation
for the nation. A lot better than Jar Jar Binks, who we spend much more time with.
And then he says, he realizes, Anakin realizes he's not going to see his mum again because he's going off to be trained as a Jedi.
Yeah.
And he says to her, "Will I ever see you again?" And she goes, "What does your heart tell you?" And all I could think of is the bit in The Simpsons where Mr. Burns jumps in the limo and goes, "Let's rule."
That's right. It's it. The Citizen Kane of Star Wars. Yeah.
It
kind of is in many ways.
He
says Rosebud when he goes down, when he throws the Emperor down that giant pit.
He might as well, because I'm never watching the special editions again because he says something stupid. He might as well say Udini.
No.
He says no.
Udini.
Yeah.
Udini! No.
So on the way back to the spaceship, they get attacked by Darth Maul.
Oh, no. Hello. It's me again. I'd like two Happy Meals and a fish filetophile, please.
Now, this was a quite exciting bit at the time. A Sith fighting a Jedi, quite exciting.
Yeah, big moment, yeah.
Nothing much happens.
No, not really,
they
no.
They get away.
It's... Yeah, they escape, yeah. I
nice shot framing,
this
though.
Even happened.
Nice shot framing.
Also, doesn't it... Yeah, sorry. Yes, after you.
I was going to say the nice shot framing when the spaceship takes off and Maul's center of the screen and the lightsaber goes back down again.
Oh, yeah. Great. That's cool. A lovely, iconic image. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I think it's also the only problem with it is it sort of spoils the shock of like when they come face to face at the end in Naboo.
Yes. Agreed.
In the Naboo sort of capital city. Mm. And like, it's why have this little skirmish earlier? I don't know.
Well,
I suppose to suggest that he's quite a good baddie, like he's almost caught up to them.
Yeah, but it also speaks to the fact that he didn't know what to do with him. And I'm sure that for the next two films, he was sitting there thinking, I wish I hadn't fucking killed him.
They should have made him a private investigator.
That's not a bad investigator. So Anakin...
Gay man.
Yeah. Phantom of the Opera. So Anakin gives Amidala a little wooden thing he made. And she goes, I care for you very much. And like you mentioned earlier, it's a bit babysitter-y vibes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan escort Amidala because she wants to go to Coruscant so she can plead her people's case to Chancellor Valorum, a.k.a. Terrence Stamp.
Terrence Stamp, that's right. Who says to Palpatine, Palpatine, you cannot show it to the Laker girls.
Mm, that's right.
You cannot show it to the Laker girls. And Palpatine says, I have to show it to the Laker girls. He says, no, you can't. You can't show it to the Laker girls. And then Obi-Wan rips off his little ponytail like Steve Martin.
Yeah. Good.
I just like Bowfinger.
Everyone likes Bowfinger.
Yeah, it's great.
In fact, there's a little bit of Bowfinger in episode 2, isn't there? Because there's lots of chubby rain at the clone planet.
Oh, there's an awful lot of chubby rain. Yeah, it's fantastic. Well, I look forward to that.
Yeah. So they go to Coruscant.
Yep.
The entire he says to her, the entire planet is one big city. What?
That's insane.
That
doesn't
make any sense.
How does that sustain itself as an ecosystem? Okay, sure. Fine. Star Wars, science fiction.
But we get.
I like the look of it. I think that's stupid. I like the idea that it is this like megalopolis, this massive city. I don't think the entire planet should be.
No.
But I really like the sort of. It looks like the cover of a Foundation novel or something.
Yeah.
Like the look of all the giant state buildings and cities and things. Excellent. Like mega Blade Runner world.
Yeah.
An entire planet. I don't. I.
That doesn't make any sense.
Everything's too much.
Yeah.
Too big. Virgin birth. City planet.
Yeah. It's just too much to take on board.
Yeah, too much. Too much to buy. Too much to buy into.
But the Palpatine starts his little worming now because he's like, the Chancellor is mired by corruption rumours.
Mm.
And maybe you should
call... And he's ginger as well, Emperor Palpatine. That's a big reveal for the series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He says, maybe you should call a vote of no confidence.
Oh.
So then Qui-Gon takes Anakin to the Jedi Council and says, we were attacked by a Sith. And they're like, nah, don't be stupid. Typical bureaucrats sitting on their ass.
That's right. I mean, and this is a universe with quite a few of them, because this is one of, I think, about 20 scenes that's just people sitting around a table talking.
Yeah.
In this sci-fi adventure film.
Also, we haven't forgotten about Puppet Yoda.
Don't think
you can change it to CG Yoda and we'll forget. We haven't forgotten.
Yeah, no, Puppet Yoda.
I
was going to say I Mandela affected it as being a puppet, but it was.
It
it's
was
just,
a puppet.
Yeah, different. It looked different. Now they've gone back and tinkered.
It looked like Yoda had some sort of problems in his life, the puppet. I liked it. They'd given him little 70s curly sideburns.
Yes, they had. I remember them. Yes, of course it really happened. It was all real, John. I didn't forget. It was all real.
But now they've cheated and made it a CG one.
Classic Star Wars.
Because you remember CGI when Attack of the Clones came out? And they were all like, oh, it's a CG Yoda. Oh, look what we can do. And you're like, yeah, but it didn't look very good though, did it?
Yeah, no, indeed. Age is much, much worse than any of the puppet Yodas. Oh dear. What a shame.
He says he wants to train Anakin. And they're like, oh, we'll. And then Mace is like, bring him before us then. It's like, all right, lads, fuck off. You're sitting in here. I was nearly killed.
Yeah.
You're sitting in here with
that's right. And he's
fat head and giraffe neck, twiddling your balls.
And Silas Carson again, playing a sort of tall-headed, old bearded guy.
Yes. And that
looks like he runs a sort of small brew, beer brewery. Or something.
And whatever the fuck that one is that looks like he's got like a turkey's face.
Yeah, that was, I mean, that's distressing as well.
Yeah.
You know, all of you make me sick, you should say.
Make me sick.
You're all hideous, and I hate all of you.
You should be like when Glenn leaves in the thick of it. Fuck you all up the wrong one. I'll trade him myself.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's Qui-Gon's right. Convinced Anakin is the prophesied chosen one that will bring balance to the Force.
Yeah, never really bought into this.
No.
Kind of think it's a nice throwaway detail in the original films that Darth Vader was a promising person that went wrong, but not very entertaining, really. Also, you know, this is supposed to be the brighter, sunnier, pre-Empire galaxy.
Mm.
And quite frankly, everything seems to be quite well in balance already.
Yeah, exactly.
So why do you want to bring someone else to bring balance? I mean, what is imbalanced about the Force? We haven't seen any evidence of that, have we?
No, at all. And just FYI, George, call you George, the bit Obi-Wan Kenobi says in, you know, a New Hope, as you call it, it's fine in terms of character background for me. I don't need this trilogy.
Okay, oh, okay. Well, we already put a lot of money into it, so we're going to have to finish the movie. And
I know, but when he just says...
release it to try and make back some money.
He was betrayed by Darth Vader.
Yeah, it's good. It's great.
It's great. And then he fought with him in the Clone Wars. You didn't show any of that?
Yeah, yeah. No. Well, we didn't have the money back then. It was just, you know...
Yeah, but you didn't show any of it in these ones.
Oh, yeah. No. Well, that was an artistic choice.
Right,
sure. You know, it's we get the clones in there and they're fighting. I mean, I can't remember who it is, but they're fighting somebody. And they're fighting in the Clone Wars, aren't they?
It's a bit messy, George.
There's a cartoon.
I'm not watching a cartoon.
Where you see some more of them fighting in. Oh, okay. Well, I'm gonna go. I got a lunch date on the Sunset Strip.
Good for you.
I don't do a lot these days because I sold off all the Star Wars, and it kind of takes care of itself now. So I'm just gonna go.
Yeah, please.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
I'm gonna go meet my friend Darth Maul. We're going to go for some hoisin crispy owls.
Do better, George.
No, sorry. Bye.
Thanks. Bye. George Lucas there.
George Lucas there. Amazing we got him to send a message in as well.
Imagine that.
And a message that sort of interacted with us and responded to things we said.
To be fair, we set that up. It's fine.
Yeah, well, yeah. We sent him the script before we
Yeah, I've got a lot of affection for George Lucas, I must say. A lot of people hate him, but I think he's great.
I don't think there's much reason to hate him. I mean, especially when you see so many people now, especially now with hindsight, so many people have put their grubby little fingerprints all over this once very, you know, straightforward, lean set of films that were very, you know, brilliantly designed, really well shot, you know, well written films. And, you know, now everyone's had a bloody go at, you know, reinventing the wheel of them. So, you know what? In the end, George Lucas, all's forgiven. You've only fallen into the same pitfalls that so many other creative people have.
Yeah, and you know what? People say your films were terrible, but they were bad. Don't get me wrong. But none of them were as bad as Episode 9, which is an abomination.
Yes. Loyal listeners can go back and listen to our mixed reception to The Rise of Skywalker.
Anyway, talking of abominations...
I thought it was really great. I loved Rise of Skywalker.
George, shut up. Go away.
What better... Okay, bye.
Bye. Senate meeting. Naboo invaded by Federation. Everyone wants an investigation commission. Amidala
people
looks...
talking about trade embargoes. Trade. Yes, more.
Amidala's like, right, well, I call for a vote at no confidence. And then we see a load of ETs. Did you notice them?
Yeah, ETs hanging out in a little pod.
Fucking.
Yeah, I think I saw.
Putting plants
Ant
up their
arseholes. There as well somewhere.
Yeah.
Ant and Dec in one of those pods from the planet of the Geordies. They were like, oi, man, I've won more confidence.
Awkwardly, like at the coronation.
That's right. Yep.
That
yep.
So
just
weird.
Awkwardly watching the coronation of the new Senator Palpatine. Chancellor Palpatine.
I do want to sit Steven Spielberg down one day and go, "ET, lovely film, love it. It's an amazing film. Yeah. What's the purpose of an ET? What does it do?
In his daily life, you mean?
Yeah, because they come to Earth to collect plants, right? And then you see inside their ship, and it's full of plants.
Yeah.
And I think somewhere he said galactic gardeners or something. What's the point of that?
Oh well, you know, have you seen Silent Running?
Yes.
That's a world where there's no ETs, and it's just up to us, and we fuck it all up, John.
Fuck it all right up, but
absolutely destroy the last forest.
I don't want
blow it to bits.
An ET coming here stealing my plants.
Well, all right, I can't get on board with this. I put up with a lot of stuff, John. I put up with the September the 11th references earlier.
Right.
But, I mean, saying that ETs shouldn't be allowed here. They come here in their small spaceships.
Yeah, big
across
spaceships.
The channel. And they, well, all right, relatively fairly large spaceships. Mm. And then they come down here and all they want is a little boy to feed them M&Ms or Reese's Pieces or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And in return, all they ask is not to be murdered by government agents and to be allowed to collect plants.
I'm
okay?
sorry.
And I think, why not? I think, why not, John?
Well, I'm sorry, but they should follow the proper practice of
illegally. I think the provision for extraterrestrials coming to this planet just is not adequate. There aren't enough staff. The methods by which they can claim alien asylum legally are absolutely inadequate. And I think it's a really blinkered attitude from you, John. And quite frankly, I'm shocked.
All I'm saying is, I'm sure there's lovely plants on their planet. Why do they have to come here and take ours?
John, this is really this cultural imperialism. I can't stand by it.
Well, let's leave it there because we're never going to agree on this.
No, all right, fair enough. Mm. Well, I think what we should do is just argue with each other some more and then have nothing change, practically speaking.
Well, let's see how you feel when you go out to tend your lovely garden and an ET's taken loads of your plants. See how you feel about that.
I genuinely think that sounds very charming. It's happened to me. Yeah. Look out the window. Oh,
what if you wake up one morning and there's an ET standing there pointing at you and saying, ouch?
Again, I think I'd find that... Well, I'd find it very confusing in many ways. But when I came to terms with it, I'd find it quite amusing.
What if he was pointing at your knob?
But if he said, ouch, and pointed at my knob, I'd be quite concerned.
Yeah, you should.
Well, he'd be fixing it. When he says ouch, he fixes it with his glowing finger.
Yeah.
He fixes my willy. Finally, someone had to. Don't threaten me with a good time, John. ET's going to solve all. He's going to weed my garden. He's going to fix my broken penis. I mean, this sounds like an absolute dream.
Might even do you a shepherd's pie or something.
If only we hadn't got that Trade Federation embargo on Earth. With the Chinese guys stopping us from having any ETs coming in.
So we found out that Terrence Stamp's now basically being kicked out. He's been kicked out. And Palpatine is now going to run for Chancellor. Mm-hmm. So Amidala's like, you know what? This is your fight. I don't belong here. I'm an action lady. I'm going back to Naboo.
That's right.
And he's like, oh, well, if you insist, bye.
Yep. And off she goes.
Yeah, so she goes. And also the Jedi Council say that Anakin's too old to be trained.
Yeah, he's only 10.
What, do you want him sort of gagagooing all around the place while he's... Well, I suppose like Grogu, I suppose, but...
Yeah, he's a little baby.
He's shit, though, isn't he?
Hmm. That's true.
He has to get inside Taika Waititi to function. He's a bit like Rita Ora.
Yeah. She gets inside Taika Waititi?
Yeah.
Well, whatever they're into, I mean, you know, it's entirely up to them.
It's a free
Hey,
country.
Listen, around this point, when they set off for Naboo, Amidala has a new hairstyle again.
Yeah.
And I think it's a bit like an homage to the tits on the bird cow that dispenses blue milk.
I think you're right.
The Last Jedi.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like it's like poetry. It's like it rhymes.
It rhymes. It has to rhyme.
So Qui-Gon, as I say, fuck you all out the wrong, and I'm going to train Anakin.
That's right.
And I know Obi-Wan is now a proper Jedi.
Yes.
He's no longer an apprentice.
Yes. So, well done, Obi-Wan.
And the Jedi say to them, right, well, I order you to go back with Queen Amidala to Naboo for some reason and oversee everything.
Yeah.
I got an idea. Why don't we all go? How about that?
No.
No?
Nah, not bothered.
You lads just going to stay here sitting on your ass doing nothing? Okay.
Samuel Jackson's just like ordering pizza. Like, what? No, sorry. Really busy. Really busy at the moment.
Qui-Gon's getting a bit passy-aggy, isn't he, your old Yoda?
Getting
a bit passag.
Yeah, all right, fine. Well, I'll fuck the lot of you up the wrong end. I'm off to go and save Naboo as well. Why he wants to save Naboo, I guess he's been hanging out with Amidala now, but why is everyone so bothered? I mean, it
seems
a bit strange.
I know. I mean, and then Mace Windu's like, Yoda, I just went to eat me lettuce for my lunch.
Yeah.
And bloody E.T.'s nicked it.
Bloody E.T.'s bloody hanging out all over the place. I don't think it would be fun if in the world of Star Wars, just quietly in the background, a bit like the owls in Futurama, they've become like the pest of the Star Wars universe.
They're like little raccoons.
And just in the background, you see one like, yeah, rooting around in the bins in the background.
That'd be quite fun.
In Attack of the Clones. Yeah, that'd be good. There's a scene in this where, I don't know if this has been said many times, I apologise if so, but in the scene where Qui-Gon's all setting off and Obi-Wan is stepping up to become a full Jedi Knight, Qui-Gon Jinn says to him, "You're a good apprentice, Obi-Wan, and a muzzle wiser man than I am." And it is like, you're not using that one, right?
Is he trying
you're not going to use that one.
Is he trying to be
No, we got it. We got it in a previous take. Maybe he's trying to be like, he's being a Gungan now. He's throwing in a bit of Gungan jive.
He's culturally, he's a culturally sensitive man.
That's true. Fair enough. He's trying to embrace that. And a muzzle wiser man than I am.
Well, this is this after Obi-Wan tells him he's being an idiot?
Oh, yes, I think basically possibly.
Like,
yes.
Why are you doing this? It's almost like saying to him, why are you like this? Why can't you just go
along
with
like this? Please.
The council one and just don't
Please,
train him?
God. Yeah.
He should go, you're not, you don't like fancy him or anything, do you? Because I don't think I can hang around with you anymore if that's what you're like.
Is that what do you fancy him or something? Oh, it's God. Very childish, the level of discourse among Jedi Knights in this film.
Yeah. Why don't you bloody marry him?
Yeah, that's right. If you love him so much, why don't you bloody marry him? Qui-Gon Jinn, you're a muzzle wiser man.
So they go and see, they go down to Naboo and they meet with the old Gungans.
That's right. In the sacred place.
In the sacred
Pizza Hut buffet.
Yeah.
When there's trouble, Gungans go to the sacred place.
He's going to go and get to the ice cream factory.
Hundreds and thousands.
How many hundreds and thousands?
Hundreds and thousands of them.
And she goes, guess what, lads? I was the queen all along.
Whoa. Yeah, we know. I think we know by now. Yeah, yeah. And everyone's shocked. Shocked because they're idiots.
Just FYI, your accent's all over the fucking shop.
Especially now that she's being both Padme and the Queen. It's absolutely nuts, yeah.
Nuts. It's like that Tommy Cooper sketch where he's half sailor, half pirate.
Yeah, exactly, yes.
Jar Jar is promoted to general.
Yeah, very quick. From anonymous idiot to general in one promotion. Quite something.
I wonder if at the end this would be like Rambo 3. I said this film is dedicated to the brave fighters of the Gungan.
The brave fighters of the Gungan resistance.
That's right.
Then years later, there's Jar Jar. He's running Gungan City under a sort of misogynistic iron glove. Horrible.
Yous are going to go to school? Me don't think so.
Me no think so.
Jar Jar, all the ladies are in deep doo-doo now.
No, God. Jar Jar, the worst Gungan. And it's all because of Qui-Gon Jinn, the idiot Jedi.
That's right. Who represents the American government in this particular film.
I suppose so, yeah, metaphorically.
So basically, they go back to the Naboo Temple Church Museum to fight the Trade Federation. Qui-Gon says to Anakin, go and hide in a spaceship.
Yes, that's right. Go hide in one of those things, yeah.
And then we get this thing, because Star Wars films... you have to have a few things going on at the end at a time. There's like four battles going on at once in this, isn't there?
Yep. Four or five maybe, yeah.
Yeah. So you get all the Gungans fighting silly robots for the little babies.
In what is just an empty field.
Yes.
Where it's very hard to tell where they are or what's happening.
Yeah, it's basically like very basic CG.
Yeah.
You've got Queen Amidala and her lads fighting more robots.
Yes, that's right, fighting their way up the big, beautiful Italian ancient museum building.
Oh, should point out, by the way, this is the last of the prequel films that looks nice. I think it's very well shot, and there's lots of sets.
Yeah. Well, this could be because then the second film is the first ever full film shot in digital, so maybe like technology wasn't quite there.
Shit.
Yeah, I haven't watched it since the time, I have to admit, so I'm looking forward to revisiting it eventually for this.
So, yeah, you got that, and then you've got the space battle with Celia Imrie.
Yeah, Celia Imrie's there, American.
Yeah. She says,
"Hi, my name's Philippa. Flipper.
It sounds like a genuine Mona Lisa, but I'll have to see it to be sure." Since that. And then, obviously, you've got the Jedis fighting you've got the Jedis fighting Darth Maul. Now, this scene with the doors opening is pretty fucking cool, isn't it?
Oh, it's really good. And it's really nice. I mean, it's the reason people remember this bit. Again, because it's like there's stakes and you understand it.
Mm.
You know, there's the Master of the Apprentice. They're fighting this one guy who's, you know, so super deadly and mysterious.
Mm.
And he comes in and he says, I've bought a book on lightsaber fighting and I will read it.
Well, also, he does the one lightsaber. What? Two lightsabers? What?
Yeah, across the galaxy.
That's what Anakin should say. He should lean out of the spaceship.
Anakin says,
what?
What? What?
They should have cast a boy who sounds like a young James Earl Jones for Anakin. That would have
been no, just use James Earl Jones.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Fantastic. Are you an angel?
Are you an angel?
What? Brilliant. Much better film. Change that. Don't go putting CGI Yoda in there. Come and get bloody...
dub him.
Get James Earl Jones back in the studio. Come on.
They don't need to now because of that last Obi-Wan series. They've got a computer that does his voice now. And it's pretty terrifyingly... You wouldn't know. It's pretty seamless.
Bodes ill for voice actors like me, John.
Certainly does. And Lewis McLeod. I've got a clip from him now.
And Lewis McLeod. And Andy Seacombe.
That's some bad news for us. Oh, no. Libbidi-bibbidi.
Oh, hang on. That was never your Lewis McLeod AI machine, was it?
It was, yeah.
Sounded just like him. Sounded like the real thing.
Yeah. By the way, if Lewis McLeod is listening...
I've got an AI pop as well, if you didn't know.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. Listen to this.
Okay.
Omni Maverick Bass. Yeah, perfect. Good. You wouldn't even know that it's just a computer.
I don't want Lewis McLeod thinking that I don't rate him as a voice actor if he's listening. I think he's fantastic.
And, he's like a versatile genius, yeah.
He is, absolutely.
It's more a Sebulba machine, let's be honest. It's
Annie.
Elipity pippy.
Scooby dooby dee scallop quack quack.
Scooby dooby doo.
So you get all this going on. Anakin accidentally blows up the donut.
Accidentally wins the donut, donut fight, yep.
Yeah, which is.
He's in a kid's film where no one else really is. He's like, whoa! It's all that. It's like something for everybody.
Then he does
a lightsaber fight for the grown-ups.
Mm. Little fluffy rabbit men fighting robots for the kids.
For who knows who. Mm. I think that's women between the ages of 75 and 78. That's the demographic research said would like that.
Mm.
You'd have to ask them, though. I don't know if that was accurate.
You get one of my favourite bits in the film is where Padme Amidala, whatever she's called, she runs into the room where the trade man is.
Yes.
And she pulls out a gun to ask him to surrender. And as she stops, the floor is obviously so well waxed that she nearly slips over, but they left it in.
Oh, nice. Great. Yeah. And she says, you're a muzzle-wiser man. Hang on.
They got the scat man.
4-4-4-4-2-4-4. There you go. Stopped the machine again. Yeah.
So all the robots die.
Yes,
because the mothership's blown up, and Jar Jar. We will completely skip over all Jar Jar's antics because he's just a big
cunt. Yeah.
And Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon are fighting Darth Maul. They go through those little red barrier things.
Yeah. They're fun. You get the big finale.
Yeah, because Qui-Gon gets killed, which was spoiled for me before the film came out.
Now, did you find about this through the soundtrack album?
Yes.
Because I've heard about this.
I looked at it in our price or wherever it was, and I was like, oh, Qui-Gon's funeral. Okay, fair enough.
Oh, great. Thanks a lot. Yeah,
thanks, John Williams.
Can you have called it like, I don't know, we had Duel of the Fates, maybe End of the Duel of the Fates?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
End of the Fates?
Climax of the Fates?
Something else. Qui-Gon Jinn dies.
Yeah.
He dies at the end.
He dies like a big fucking idiot, which is in character again.
Yeah, there's a lot
confident.
Of gymnastics.
Hmm.
Yeah, he is. There's also a bit when he just sits down and has to meditate for a bit, which like is a bit big... like, oh, fucking come the fuck on, mate. You smug bastard.
It's like people that...
Now, I think there's a lot of potential in Obi-Wan and Anakin's relationship then, because Qui-Gon is this sort of father figure. He's, you know, an idiot, really, when you really look at what he does. But he's this very sort of avuncular, sort of noble, with a beautiful profile, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I noticed Liam Neeson's gorgeous profile.
He is. And this kind of cemented his trajectory for the next few years of playing wise guardian figures.
Yeah, true. And and he does it well. Like, he's the character is an idiot, but he performs it brilliantly.
Yeah.
And having Obi-Wan and Anakin as these sort of dispossessed sons of this lost father figure, I think, is a really nice thing. And going, oh, how do we both live up to this guy who protected us and brought out our potential? And I think they sort of don't play into that at all in the following films.
They don't.
But I think that would be a good story.
To the point where in this Obi-Wan series that was just on, they had to make more backstory scenes to cement their relationship further.
Okay. Oh, great. Yeah, because they were going back to the films going, I mean, where are the where's the stuff we can use?
Yeah.
None of it.
None
Nothing.
Of it.
What's this deleted scene? Oh, it's literally just 20 solid minutes of Jar Jar playing with a playing
Jar Jar
ball.
Accidentally pissing in his own mouth while he was trying to have a wee.
Oh, right, he's a pissing in my mouth. Oh.
Yeah, but they haven't put the CGI over it, so it's just Ahmed Best with a big rubber head on. Lying on his back.
Cha-cha, you've done big doo-doo in my cement mixer. Oh, no.
Yeah. Then Andy Secombe headbutts him and knocks him out by mistake again.
Yeah, everyone applauds.
He's a fiend for it.
He is. Loves that sort of thing.
He loves it.
Yeah, so we get the fight with Darth Maul. He kills Qui-Gon, and then the thing Qui-Gon happens dead. That I think, as I say, because the next two films you've got these baddies that should have been Darth Maul, basically. Where he kills him off. Because there's a nice bit here where they have a lovely choreographed lightsaber fight, which is all fast and well, and then
Obi-Wan like launches in at him, it's really good. It's well shot, well acted, just like sort of leathering in with the lightsaber. Really like the anger, the rage coming out.
But you should have just had some sort of thing happen and Darth Maul just falls down the pipe at the end, and then the next film he's in it again and no one would care.
Yeah, you could probably quite easily CGI touch that up and just have his two halves not fall apart.
Yeah, I think someone has. I'm pretty sure I've seen that. But yeah, but then you've got these surrogate baddies for the next two films that should have been him.
Yeah, just replaceable Darths being thrown in here and there. You know?
Yeah.
And had, various, General Grievous.
Count Dooku.
Count Dooku, yes.
Dracula? Dooku.
Count.
Oh, Dooku, my boy.
I believe I'm playing Count Dracula in the new Star Wars film. Nanny, get me a cucumber sandwich.
And some ketchup, because he doesn't drink blood.
And some ketchup, that's right.
Good idea, that.
And then Obi-Wan says, I'll get it!
Yeah, not many people realise that Count Dooku was a Danger Mouse spin-off.
Yes, that's true. Very true, yes.
He was
I'm waiting for it to happen again, because Dooku has made a brief appearance in the new Danger Mouse.
He has, which I don't,
fingers
I don't
crossed
think that's coming back,
for a gig.
It?
Possibly not, but fingers crossed for a gig writing on the new Count Dracula reboot.
I'd love to write on
show.
Dracula. Yeah.
My God, I wish. God, I love it.
So, Qui-Gon, as Qui-Gon is dying in Obi-Wan's arms, he says, kiss me, Hardy. No, he says,
kiss me, Obi.
Train the boy. Promise me you'll train him.
You know that really annoying kid that we've been hanging around with? Awful. Yeah. Spend the rest of your adult life with him, please, and take care of him all the time. And does he get less annoying? If anything, it gets worse. So just, you know, good luck with that. And if there's ever a time for a no, then that was it.
That was it.
That was it. And there isn't a time.
So we get Qui-Gon's funeral.
And then always two there are. That's not true. I'm sure multiple Star Wars products have proven that's wrong.
Also, we get the first moment of a CG Yoda in the original film here. Because when he sat and Yoda's walking around him in the original film... He's CG until the close-up and he's the puppet again, but obviously they changed it. But yeah, he says, always two there are, barmaid, barman.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's right. Yeah.
Sith apprentice. And he goes, all right, the council agrees that you can train him.
Yeah. All right, fucking fine then.
Fine, Jesus Christ. Fucking even in death, he's a pain in my ass.
I know, exactly.
So then we get... the celebratory parade on Naboo.
Hooray! Who cares? Beautiful music. Love is a burning thing. Great music. And I like C.O. Bibble's big orb that he's got for no reason.
Yeah.
But, and also the guy that we've hardly seen so far from the council, the guy with bigger ears than Yoda and the pink face.
Yeah.
And a scar
and
over his eye.
And he's got a scar.
What's his deal? He's so much more interesting than Qui-Gon.
I think he was looking through the keyhole at someone getting undressed and they poked a poker through it.
They stuck their finger through it. Ow! Yeah, that makes sense. Checking out.
Because you think about
he's watching Yaddle changing.
You think about it, he's standing up, he's keyhole level, isn't he? So
that's true, yeah, he's very short.
He's like, whoa, ow!
Peter Butterworth.
Amazing. So then, sorry, what's his name? Jar Jar lifts up the orb and says, "We are free."
Yep.
And also Palpatine says to Anakin, "I'll be keeping a close eye on your development."
Yep.
And then and then they say to him, "Stop saying that. We're trying to start the music."
Yeah,
sorry.
So Palpatine shouts, he's basically given us the cliffhanger line, hasn't he? So you might as well just then go into the theme song.
Yeah,
it's like how Ewan McGregor said it was hard to stop making the lightsaber noises on set.
Yes.
Because they were like, we put them in later. And he's like, "Oh, yeah, sorry."
And that's why, same with that Laura Dern, isn't it, in The Last Jedi, when she's got that gun and she comes towards the camera, you can literally see her saying, "Pew, pew." Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
Body McGrew, comfortable gub. That's what she says. What's that got to do with anything?
"Pew, pew, Barney McGrew." You can, if you watch carefully, you can lip read her doing that.
That's right.
Well, that was The Phantom Menace, John. Phantom Menace. How about that? So what would you, if you were, cast your mind back, what are you expecting from the next film after this?
I don't know. I was expecting Anakin, well, I remember saying to my friends at the time, the next one would probably be Anakin training and like Empire Strikes Back type deal, but like with some cool stuff in it, but I wasn't expecting how bad it was.
Yeah,
I really was.
I was expecting essentially everything that happens, but just a lot better.
I remember I saw the same weekend of the second one, I saw The Matrix Reloaded and then Episode 2, and I remember thinking, I think cinema's dead. Genuinely think it's dead.
And you were right.
Yeah.
So that was The Phantom Menace. Phantom Menace. Presaging the end of all cinematic entertainment. It was fun going back and watching it again. I would say baffling is the main word I would use to describe my experience watching it this time.
Yeah.
But good Lord, haven't we had a great time talking about the film, enjoying the weird little corners of the film, and most importantly, hearing from Andy Secombe.
Most importantly, that was wonderful.
Wonderful.
Well, you know, maybe us and Andy will be back for episode 2 one day.
Maybe. Watto does reappear. Who knows?
He's only in it for about 5 seconds, so I'm not sure what kind of anecdote it is.
Let's not dwell on that too much.
it's you, Anakin. What do you want? Your mother's a soldier mother to a horny farmer.
That's right. I'm still a piece of shit. Goodbye. Yeah, and that's the end.
But I've got a hat this time.
Yeah, I mean, probably Anakin kills him off screen. But again, we can get to that later.
Yeah. Well, until then... Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Tom Crowley. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you. And thank you, John, for this wonderful experience.
Weezer free,
at last.
And that's not all.
And that is all.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.